Our second reading comes from James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it, or it will deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
All right, yeah, last week we've been going through James, of course, and we got back into James a little bit, and we've been talking about mastering the tongue. That was last week, and obviously a very challenging, convicting passage, one that you can sit there and read and just probably reflect on a lot, just as we consider our words. As we looked at that passage, the few things we looked at, just we need to look first and foremost to Jesus. He's the ideal. He's the ideal. He was perfect in everything he said, and his body was kept in check. His life was kept in check. His words were consistent with his actions. And as well, they talked about the warning to teachers. But Jesus was the ideal teacher. What he taught, he did. And he lived that out. With that passage too, though, as we looked at Jesus, the ideal, but we also recognize the brokenness of our own tongues and our words, and it brings us to the reality of our need for Christ, our need for his example, his salvation in our lives, to tame our tongues. And then we kind of challenge you to pursue the challenge of mastering your tongue by surrendering ultimately to Christ. For it is out of the overflow of the heart, it is out of the overflow of your heart that your mouth speaks. So we really just challenge, James challenges us continually with that genuine faith. What is in your heart? Is Jesus Lord of your heart? Is he master of your heart? And if he is master, then your words will overflow in praise, and your words will overflow in that ideal way, like Christ. But if Jesus is not in your heart, your tongue will not be in check. It will not be mastered by him, but instead be mastered by everything else. So that was just some of the things we looked at last week, and this week we turn to looking at wisdom, and just really looking at two kinds of wisdom. So will you pray with me? Father, as we continue to look into the book of James, thank you for just the very practical teaching it provides, and it's convicting, it's challenging, and I thank you for that, Lord. We need to hear that. But Lord, thank you that we, as we hear those challenging words, it reminds us of our great need for you. And Lord, that you are so good in supplying just all that we need to honor you, to pursue you. So Lord, as we look at wisdom today, may we pursue your wisdom, and may we put your wisdom first in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so a question for you to think about, and I don't know if anyone wants to respond, you're welcome to, but who is the wisest person you know or have known? If anyone be willing to share, I'll throw it out there. But who is the wisest person you know or have known? Any responses? Think about it for a moment. Anyone willing to share? I guess I should share. I'm asking the question. I consider my parents very wise. That's an easy one to go to. But one other person I consider wise, actually the person I got a chance to see this week at camp, his name's Jim Welch. He's the founder of the camp there. But he's always just one of those guys that just he's just very wise and very thoughtful in what he says. The type of person you need to listen to when they're talking. My other questions with that I would ask, why do you say that person is wise? And how did they show their wisdom? Using Jim as an example, just his words are always fixed on Christ and glorifying him. That's really how he's lived his life. The camp there, Summer's Best, is that he's really built off of that model. So I've seen that in his life and what he's done, not just his words, but also his actions. And that's really, he's a person I consider very wise, just the way he has submitted to Christ in his life, and he's just been obedient to his calling in his life. So anyone else willing to share? Anyone, any thoughts? Mary Lou, yeah. Yeah, so Noah Martin, yeah, and he was one of the founders of New Day and just really developed that ministry and was very faithful to it for many years, just displaying his wisdom in that way, the wisdom that God had given him. So, yeah, praise God, yeah. Anyone else? Well, keep thinking about that. Keep that just in your mind. It's good to stop and consider and thank God for those people that he places in our lives that way. So this passage in 13, it does begin with that kind of question, though. Who is wise and understanding among you? It asks a question. And that is, again, a good question to ask. It implies that there are wise and understanding people out there. It also implies, I think, that there are people that are not those things. But I think it's important to know who those wise people are and what they look like. These verses, they're going to lay out the difference between those who are wise in God's eyes and those who are wise in the world's eyes. Another ways of putting it is the difference between the wise and the foolish. And James, in very proverb-like fashion, we read Proverbs 4, where the Proverbs really lays that distinction very quickly, clearly. Who is wise? Who is foolish? And what does that look like in a life? And James is going to go on that same vein of thought, just displaying, this is what it means to have godly wisdom, and this is what worldly wisdom looks like. So with that, though, who is wise and understanding? It's important to consider. Who do you place around yourself? Who do you go to for wisdom and understanding and discernment? What makes that person wise? What identifies them as wise? And for us to think about, are we discerning rightly who we need to glean wisdom from? Are we listening to the right voices? Are we listening to people that are truly wise in God's eyes? So as we get into this passage, it shows some identifying marks. It has that question, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So true wisdom will include these qualities and these fruit. The first one, wisdom is shown by a good life. Another version of reading that could also say good conversation. Thinking about your words, wisdom is shown by your words, by a good life, by your reputation, how people know you. And it's also shown in your relationships. By having a good life, that I think that's really implying that we have good relationships with those around us. Most importantly, we have a right relationship with God. And living a good life will mean that we have good relationships with others. We're able to live peacefully with one another and to display our wisdom in that way. So that's one thing we see from the wisdom that comes from God. It's shown by a good life, our words, our relationships, our reputation. And then wisdom is also shown by our deeds. Our actions are, again, should be consistent with our words. And our actions are also a display of wisdom in our lives. What we do they display God's wisdom or do they display something else? Our deeds are ultimately going to be a confirmation of our reputation, our words, and the relationships we have. In some ways, this is a continuation of the idea of taming the tongue. Those who are wise, they will speak well. They will speak with goodness and kindness. But they will also exhibit self-control over their words, and as a result, their whole body will be kept in check, and they will do the good deeds of wisdom. And then the last thought, just in this first verse, is that wisdom is shown by meekness and humility. And meekness and humility. If true wisdom is going to be displayed in our words and our actions, then it comes from a heart that is meek and humble. A way to understand meekness is knowing our place before the Lord. Knowing our position, knowing who we are before him, knowing that we are a created thing, that he is the creator. It's recognizing our rightful place before him. And humility is really submitting to the Lord, knowing who he is. It's clearly submitting, knowing that he is the creator. No, he has all wisdom. He has all power, all authority. And we are going to humbly submit to him because he is so much higher and greater than us. And he has all that wisdom. So in order to gain wisdom and be wise, though, we must be meek and we must be humble. We must know our place and we must humbly submit to God. And that's how we gain wisdom. So know your place, and as one of the responsive reading, the verse that was included there, talked about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We do need to know our place rightfully, that God is all-powerful, that he is to be feared. And not just feared obviously the fearful and the respectful way. We should respect God, but there's also just that genuine idea that, God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is all-good, and we are not, and we need to fear him, and we need to know our place before him, and because we have that sin within us, all the more reason for us to know our place and to submit to him humbly. So submit to God knowing he is all wise and understanding and that you are not. And again, ultimately, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So think about your heart. Is your heart humble? Is your heart meek before the Lord? Is the Lord first in your life? And is it His wisdom alone that you seek? And then what is in your heart? Remind yourself, what is in your heart will come out in your life. So is it His wisdom or is it the world's? And this will lead us to the second part of this passage. The second thing I would ask is just say, who is foolish? You know, who is wise is the first verse. And then the second verse there, who is foolish? James quickly turns and he jumps right into describing the foolish wisdom that our world lives by. And he describes the heart condition of those who operate by this kind of wisdom. The two character traits that he really draws out of the foolish heart are envy and selfish ambition. Those are the character traits of the foolish person and those who live by worldly wisdom. And these contrast with the wise who are led by meekness and humility. So the wise are led by meekness, humility, whereas the fool is led by envy and selfish ambition. So the envious, they're desiring of what is not theirs. They do not accept their place, and they're often unwilling or unable to learn wisdom in the position they are in because all they see is what they don't have. So they're not content with where God has placed them. They're not recognizing their rightful position before Him. So they're envious and always seeking something that is really not theirs. And those with selfish ambition, they submit only to themselves and their own desires. You know, what's in it for me? What can I gain? You know, how can I use wisdom, perhaps? How can I use wisdom for my own ends? Such character traits may at times appear wise in our world, as they may allow you to gain position, power, prestige, and possessions. Surely, if you operate off of envy and selfish ambition, you will make gains in this world, and that may appear wise with the things that you gain here. But however, they all always inevitably leave behind a trail of bitterness and broken relationships and emptiness. When you pursue envy, you're going to hurt people. When you are trying to be better than others and get what is not your own, you're ultimately going to step on people's toes and hurt people. And when selfish ambition is your motivating factor, you're also going to cast others aside. You're going to leave behind a trail of brokenness. Now, as you read this passage, keep in mind, James, again, he is writing to Christians. And so he is warning them of the real danger to fall into that trap of envy and selfish ambition. That's not something we just magically can avoid in our lives. As we live in this world, that is the way the world operates, and we too can be infected with the way it lives. We can be infected with a let's get ahead mentality and be envious of other people's positions. We can go on Facebook and be envious of others. There's so many ways our world tries to trap us in envy and to pursue all what is only about yourself, your own gain. There's so many ways that our world pushes that, and that is what worldly wisdom is. Now, if you think about verse 14, if you look at it also in light of Adam and Eve, the Adam and Eve story in the garden, I think James has that verse, that story in the back of his mind as he is presenting this passage on wisdom. You know, if you think about the situation in with Adam and Eve in the garden, the question that they're really being asked there is, are they going to trust God and His wisdom? Are they going to trust Him? Are they going to keep His commands? Are they going to listen to His wisdom? You know, will they discern His way as best and keep to it? Or will they turn away from it? Will they remain humble and meek before God and seek wisdom from Him or listen to the lies of the devil? And for our own lives, you know, will we choose wisdom? Will we choose the wisdom of God? Or will we choose our own wisdom? Will we choose the way of this world? Will we pick what we think is best for us? Or will we go to God and ask Him what is best and ask Him for His wisdom? Will we listen to other voices or listen to the voice of God? So with Adam and Eve, at some point in that fateful decision that they made, they embraced at some point envy. They embraced envy. They wanted something that was not theirs. They wanted something that they were not supposed to have. And they also embraced selfish ambition in their hearts. At some point they did. And they did what they thought was best for themselves. And they pursued that. And then they also, they were as they're kind of having that dialogue, as Eve is talking with Satan, and she's even beginning to maybe perhaps boast in him. Well, I can be like God. If I eat this, I can be like Him. She's starting to boast even a little bit, as the verse in James says, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. And so you see with Adam and Eve, they at some point were embracing envy, embracing selfish ambition, and they began to boast in that. You know, why can't I be like God? And then ultimately they began to deny the truth of God's word, and they began to ignore His truth and they reject it completely. And so the result of that was also then a further denial of truth as they hid from God and they denied what they did and they began to blame one another. You see, they sought to gain new wisdom and understanding, but they lost sight of their place before God, that He is the giver of wisdom and no other. And what did they gain for pursuing this foolish wisdom? Well, unfortunately, they gained only sorrow, sadness, bitterness, a broken relationship with God, a broken relationship with each other. And then they were left with emptiness as they were cast out of the presence of God. And then further, that envy and selfish ambition quickly took effect in the life of their kids, as Cain, who was envious of Abel's sacrifice and ambitiously wanting to be better than him, he murdered Abel. And so very quickly, they pursued that kind of wisdom, the wisdom of the world, which ultimately, as James is putting it, it's caught up in envy and selfish ambition, and it led to great disaster. And ever since, we have been caught in the foolishness of worldly wisdom, which destroys us. And we too are ultimately, we are faced with a daily choice, just as Adam and Eve were faced with a choice. You know, they were faced with that choice daily. As they saw that tree in the garden, they were faced with the choice of pursuing wisdom from above, pursuing God's wisdom and trusting it and submitting to God's wisdom, or to pursue the wisdom of their selves, to pursue the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of self, and submit to that. We are faced with that daily choice each and every day. Are we going to submit to God, wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you have for me this day? How can you guide me this day? What wisdom do I need from you this day? Or are we waking up and just going on with the day, trusting in ourselves? That is a daily choice, which wisdom we will adhere to. And James, he lays it out clear that there is a drastic difference between the two. He says that such wisdom, you know, the worldly wisdom, he says three things about it. He says it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and demonic. Not very great words to say there. He's making a very clear distinction. He's not mincing words here at all. When he's saying it's earthly, he's saying it's temporary. There's, you know, you're operating on a temporary basis, temporary motives, purposes, and principles. You know, it's the kingdom of self in this life, for that is all there is. You're pursuing your own needs and desires without any thought to greater purposes and without any thought to what God is calling you in your life. When he's saying that it's unspiritual, it's fleshly, it's just bent on fulfilling the lusts and desires of the sinful flesh. And when he says it's demonic, it's really just set on evil and sin, and it's powered by pride. Just as pride got the devil thrown out of hell, he's making that comparison to us. When we follow worldly wisdom, we're getting caught in pride, that we're arrogantly saying that what we think is right, that our wisdom, we're going to pursue that against God's. And that ultimately will only create pain, hurt, and discord. And James makes it very clear, the result of such wisdom, of following that way, and its character traits of envy and selfish ambition, the results of that will be disorder, and every evil practice will follow it. You know, sin will produce sin. Temptation will lead to stronger temptations. There's even maybe a one-upmanship of sin and pride. You know, as we are envious and pursuing selfish ambition, we maybe try to one-up the other person that's caught up in sin, and we try to be better than that. And it's just a never-ending cycle of sin and disaster. You know, it's impossible to ever be completely satisfied, as you will never be number one. So there's always that itch to try to pursue and be better than everyone else around you. And that's what worldly wisdom chases after. So James, again, he brings us back to our heart. You know, what is in your heart? Are you humble and meek before God? Or are you number one? And the answer will really determine what kind of wisdom you live by. So following that description, then James then turns back. He turns back to genuine wisdom. And let's finish with that. You know, there's obviously all the bad news in the middle a little bit. But let us turn to the third point. What is, you know, let us pursue genuine wisdom and let us look at that. So James goes on to write, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So James, as Proverbs did before and other places in Scripture, he paints a very clear picture of the difference between the wisdom of God and the foolishness of this world. Let us just keep in mind again, verse 17, it comes from heaven. The wisdom comes from heaven. It comes from God. It is a gift of His grace. And remember in James 1:5, James already spoke to wisdom and how we should pursue it, where he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So remember, it comes from heaven, and it's a free gift of grace that He's given us. He goes on to say, genuine wisdom, it's first of all pure. You know, it's holy, it's true, it's perfect and without blemish. And why would we desire anything else? You know, his wisdom is pure, it's holy and true. It's peace-loving. You know, God's wisdom, it brings peace. It makes us peaceable, allows us to be united in the truth, allows us to be united in love, to be gracious in our words, and to be kind, and to pursue peace with one another and pursue peace with God. And when we abide in his wisdom, we have peace with God, and it brings peace in our relationships. Genuine wisdom, James says, it's considerate and gentle. It does not boast of self or one's intelligence, but instead it speaks with kindness and gentleness and seeks God's glory alone. You know, and with it being considerate, we use our words carefully rather than rashly. And we consider God's wisdom in the matter rather than our own. And we act in love accordingly. Genuine wisdom is submissive. It's submissive to God and his wisdom. Again, that's the idea of humility and meekness, knowing our place before God and submitting to his wisdom. And also, it will be submissive in the way that we pursue what is good and we flee from what is evil. When we have God's wisdom, we have that discernment to know the difference between good and evil. And we will pursue good and we'll flee from evil. And then genuine wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. Wisdom is lived out. It's not something that we just talk about. It's to be lived out, and we're to show it in our lives. Living by the wisdom of God will reflect the heart of God, who is full of mercy and is good. We will be merciful, and we will do acts of goodness according to his will and wisdom when we submit to him. And then he also says wisdom is impartial and sincere. You know, wisdom is impartial. It's without suspicion and free from judging. That, you know, the wise will treat all equally and fairly because they are each created in God's image. And we will not value people based on standards of worldly wisdom. James already addressed that in chapter 2, how there was favoritism in the church, you know, favoring the rich over the poor. The person that is truly wise in God's eyes sees everyone as equally valuable and loved by God, that they are made in God's image. We will be impartial. And also we will be sincere. You know, God's wisdom is sincere. It's without hypocrisy and deceit, but rather it is consistent, it is honest, and it is open. You know, it's genuinely seeking the well-being and good of others and loving others. And then lastly, genuine wisdom, it sows seeds of righteousness and peace. You know, the fool who lives by worldly wisdom, they will sow seeds for sure. They will sow seeds of envy, selfish ambition, and it will reap disorder and every evil practice. But for Christians who are called to live by the wisdom of God, we will sow in peace and we will raise a harvest of righteousness. You know, we are to receive the wisdom of God. We are to receive his gospel, his message of love, and we are to sow it in the world in order to bring peace and restoration, to bring the wisdom of God into the world, into our lives. So let us choose and pursue genuine wisdom in our lives. Let us go to God. Let me, in some words of application here, just to reflect back, just think first of all, who is wise? You know, who are those in your life who are truly wise according to the qualities of this passage? You know, who do you know who is humble and meek before God and seeks and lives by this wisdom daily? And who do you know who is wise in the Word of God? I would recommend you seek those people out in your lives. Ask them questions. Learn from them. Be discipled by them. We need wise people in our lives, and we need to learn from them. God has placed people in our lives to learn from. And then second, how have you seen yourself caught in the ways of worldly wisdom? I know I can confess that absolutely. It's easy to get caught in worldly wisdom, in the way of envy and selfish ambition. And so we need to be honest with ourselves. Where is worldly wisdom influencing us? Where is it drawing us in? And where do we need to break free from it? And really, the way we break free is by just submitting to God, submitting to wisdom, asking daily for his wisdom, as James encourages us to do, because God generously gives wisdom to us. And then lastly, recognize the daily choice that is before you, the daily choice of seeking the wisdom of God and living by it, or to seek the wisdom of the world or the other voices of the world and live by it. That is a daily choice we have to face, and we need to submit daily to God. So as we finish, just remember your place before God. Humbly remember your place before him. Remember who he is. Remember that he is all wise. And ask for his wisdom. It is a free gift of grace to you. It's not something we have to earn. It's something that God generously gives. And as he gives that to you, receive it and submit to his wisdom in your life. Don't just talk about it. Don't just soak it up in your mind. Place it in your heart and live by it. Will you pray with me? Father, as we looked at this passage, there's a lot of challenging words in there, Lord, and you are so good to give us words of wisdom from James, Lord, that your Spirit spoke through him and gave us these words. Lord, we recognize that your wisdom that is from above is so good. It's so pleasing. Lord, it brings such great joys into our lives. It protects us from evil. Lord, and most importantly, it's holy, it's true, it's pure. Lord, help us in our lives to submit to your wisdom. Help us to avoid the dangers of worldly wisdom. There is clearly worldly wisdom that is out there that seeks to trap us, that seeks to pull us away from your truth. Lord, may we be aware of those things in our lives that seek to pull us away from your truth. Lord, may we repent of those things and may we submit anew to your wisdom and to your grace in our lives. Lord, I thank you that you reveal yourself to us again, that you reveal your wisdom to us, and that we can freely come to you, and that you give it freely to us. As we wake up each day, may we make that daily choice to submit to you, submit to your wisdom, and may we live in our lives, Lord, as we seek to sow in peace and raise a harvest of righteousness for your glory, that all might come to your wisdom and receive your gospel of grace. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.